Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and happy new year. Welcome back to another episode of A Novel Beginning, where we share all the fun of an author's reality. This week, we are going to be talking about fan interactions, the good, the bad, the awkward, the weird, all the fun things in between. I am Sierra Rice, and my lovely co-host is the incredible Danielle M. Orsino. So we're going to start with Dani, where she can share with everybody her weirdest interaction.
Good morning, CR. I'm so happy to be here, especially now that we're in 2024, which I totally can't believe. I'm trying to think my weirdest. You know what? I have to say, I've had pretty good fan interactions, all things considered. I haven't had too many weird ones, per se. My fans have been pretty good. I can't even believe I say the word my fans. That still rings really odd with me.
It's a weird phrase. It's definitely weird.
It really is. Like, when it comes out of my mouth sometimes, I have to stop and go, you're what? Like, there's a little voice inside my head. Like, I can almost feel it smacking me upside the head going, you're what? Say that again out loud. You got what? I've had pretty good ones. There hasn't been too many weird moments. I think I've probably made them more weird because I'm like, you want me to sign what? Like, you know, where they're running up to me and they're saying something and I'm still staring at them going, who are you talking to? Oh, me. You want me to? Oh, okay. And, like, I have to back up a little bit and have that moment of you're talking to me. I haven't had too many weird ones. I think the weirdest things have happened more online than in person. In person has been pretty cool. Like, nothing strange. I've had, you know, all the blasphemy stuff and the death threats and all that all online. And that's obviously more disturbing than weird. But I've gotten to the point where when those things happen, in interviews I make fun of them, you know, when people bring them up and they ask me about being on blasphemy lists and all that. When I've gotten the DMs on Instagram from groups that are like, can we have your home address? We want to send you pamphlets so you can improve your relationship with God because they disagree with stuff and locked out of heaven. At first I used to get like really upset, and now my responses have turned into stuff like, you know, Lucifer hasn't told me what realm of hell we'll be living in once we're married, but as soon as he tells me, I will let you know, but for now we're registered at Bed Bath & Beyond. Please send towels. For some reason, hell is very, you know, low on towels. And that's my response has turned into that. Yeah, like I've made fun of that stuff. Sometimes they've responded back. Sometimes they have not. I'm waiting for somebody to really go back and forth with me on that and, like, get in on the joke. The oddest thing I've had, this was a little weird, was I was doing an interview with somebody I was close with at the time. And we were trying to get ahead of the blowback I was getting from the first edition of Locked Out of Heaven. So he had, like, a set amount of questions. He was like, okay, we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about that. And we were using a coffee house for the interview, and so the owner did not tell me she was live streaming the whole thing on Facebook. And so
you didn't know the camera?
No, she had her phone and she had been taking pictures.
Oh.
So when she had her phone up, nobody knew. So
you gotta love
some
good
entrapment. And I had no idea. So at one point he went off script and asked me a question, and my cameraman was looking at me, and he was shaking his head like, why is he going on? And I just got so flustered, and I was like, and I said something like, look, the book isn't the gospel truth. I'm like, if you believe what I'm saying, I don't know what to tell you. So my cameraman went, all right, stop. And he comes over to me, he's like, Dan, calm down. And she live streamed it, and I had no idea. So the next day, I get home, and my friend Jacob calls, and he's like, I saw the interview, and I'm like, how did you see the interview? And I'm like, we haven't cut it. We have it. Like, it's going to be a three-part thing. And he's like, oh, it's on Facebook. And I go, and my DMs are flooded with, oh, so you think if I read the gospel, I'm stupid. And, like, this whole thing. And she had put it up. and I had no idea. And that was a little, and because when the interview was over, she's like, thank you so much for doing it here and this whole thing. And she had a real problem with me and had put it up, and I had no idea. So I don't know if you call it a fan interaction, but that was a little, that one hurt. That was a little like I didn't know what to do, and I learned about crisis management real fast. And got her to
take
it down, but at that point, it had a lot of views, and I was like, okay. And, you know, that was a little rough. But what about you?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't really, thankfully, I mean, I think same thing with as you, where it's always kind of weird, especially at, you know, Nightmare Weekend, where people were like hollering for me and you were like, hey, they're talking mm-hmm. to you, and you just keep walking away. So that was weird, but that wasn't weird fan interaction. I did have this one guy that said he wanted me to come and do a talk for them at some memorial thing, because his friend had enjoyed my series. And so I was like, sure. And I go to Corey, and Corey was like, what, Chelsea, it's a warehouse. Why would they want you to meet at a warehouse for this talk? You are not going. So that was weird. But then, what was it, Columbus 2022, where we were walking through mm-hmm. and the guy just pulled me into the booth and kind of cornered me in a booth
yep.
and started talking to me about my book. That's the kind of weird stuff I get. I don't get any – I haven't really had to do it too much crisis stuff, but I definitely get like the creepy, I'm probably going to kidnap you stuff, which
yeah,
is always fun.
You get fans that are a little more rabid about what's going on with the book, when is the next one coming out, that kind of stuff.
Which is insane, because I have 9 books out right now, and it's only been, we're coming on like 3 years. So I always love readers and stuff, but at some point you guys got to slow down, like slow down. You gotta crank it back a little bit. There's only so much I can do. And that many books in that short amount of time is crazy as it is. I think I have mm-hmm. set a precedent for people reading my books that they can expect one, you know, every 2-3 months. And so I've kind of backed myself into that corner. But I don't think I can maintain that level, guys. I'm going to have to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like I said, for fan interactions, I've had more good ones than
mm-hmm.
and then bad ones. Like, I, you know, and I'm grateful for that completely. I've had very touching ones, and I just love the fact that if somebody will read the book, I'm thrilled. Even if you don't like it, I'm just thrilled that you picked it up at this point. And if you want to talk to me about it, I'm so open to discuss it, because I also like hearing the things that people picked up on that, you know, were so subtle, and I'm just amazed that they even caught it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, oh God, I put that in not thinking anybody would notice it. And then they notice it, and you're just like, oh wow, they paid attention.
What about the things that you don't even notice? I've had that. Like, I've spoken
yeah.
with a few people that ask me questions, and I guess it wasn't even intentional, but it was as if I was leading them to a realization without realizing that I was leading them to said realization.
Yes,
especially like
me.
It's so hard on this
yes.
show, because I want to tell all the things, but
I
don't want to spoil
mm-hmm.
it for readers. And so some of these interactions where you get the people that you get the aggressive fans, right? You get the ones that
yes.
that come up and look at you
when
demanding
you killed
an
somebody.
Explanation for why you. It's oh, that one was terrible. I mean, I got that one in Columbus. The lady that came, and I can't tell you who it was, but that was devastated. And she had bought the book
yes.
the day before and had ripped through all of them and came and yelled at me on Sunday. So half of me was
yep.
like, I appreciate you. I love your determination. That is fantastic. On the other side, can we, like, stop attacking Chels? Because that doesn't seem very fair.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've had a couple people, especially after book 4, that were a little upset with me. And we're like, okay, that was not necessary to end on that. Because I do love cliffhangers. That's my thing. I like to leave you like what – I like to tie one thing up where you're like, oh, cool, okay, we got that, cool. And then throw you off the edge on the other one. Like, you know, I grab you with one hand and then I shove you with the other one. I do like doing that. And Some people do not appreciate that. So I've had, you know, fans who are just like, okay, why? Just why? There were so many other people you could have killed, but you did this one? And I'm like, it will make sense. I'm like, you got to walk with me down the street and know that it will make sense.
I've had those, especially with, you know, how depression ended. And so I get the same thing. And I will say it is on me because I have not put out a book in, I'm sorry, guys, like 6 months. So everybody's a little behind, or I guess I'm behind, but, you know, Acceptance is coming out this year and they always do their fun. You got to drag this out. Let's make every build it up. I'm going to try to stop that. I'm going to try to just let them release it and have it be what it is. But people get so angry and it's so exciting because I like that too. Like, I like it when people, not, and this is going to sound terrible, I like it when they're upset because it means that it mattered. And so I like that aspect of the entire thing, but then some people get really, really angry and it makes you second guess everything. It's like, you know what, maybe I should just tell them, that way I feel a little bit safer. But if you do, then you kind of ruin it.
Yeah.
You ruin the fun.
Yeah. You want them to like kind of discover it along, like take the journey, go down the road. And you want them to do it, but at the same point, you're looking at them going, oh, boy, you just wait. You know, it's like you're watching them watch it, and you're just kind of staring at them like, yeah, I kind of want to tell you, but at the same point, I don't want to ruin the whole thing. So it's a back-and-forth struggle. And, I had the same thing, the exact same thing, because the way book four ended, they were like, is that it? And I was like, no, there's – trust me, five is on its heels. Like, it's coming out. I didn't want to leave too much in between because of the way I ended it. And then when five came out, they were just like, I still don't have closure. I'm like, no, closure isn't until six. This is just to bridge you a little bit and, like, you know, like rub your back and be like, it's going to be okay. Not, but it is. And then when you get to six, it's still not going to totally be okay, but it will be better. You will find out some information, but then I'm going to kill somebody else. So, but it'll be better on about this one, about this person I killed. It'll be better. it's not going to be great. And I'm sitting there and I'm explaining, and I'm like, but it will be better. You will feel something that's. And I'm looking at him, I'm going, you know what the good thing is about six? I'm like, you get a whole new volume after six. I'm like, six introduces everybody for volume two. I'm like, and you will forget about what happened in volume one. And the chick was looking at me. She's like, no, I won't. Not after what you did. And I'm like, okay. Like, I got nothing for you, girl. I'm like, just keep reading because I am out of how to sell this whole situation to you. there's nothing here for you.
Yeah, and it's so fun because I know I always spend a lot of time talking to everybody that comes to the table, especially, you know, for the other authors and everything at the pop-up bookshop. But like when they come and they're asking pointed questions, I always get that, okay, I can answer this. And then I always look back at Corey and I wait for like the shakeoff, like, no, you're not allowed to say what you can't do that part. Or if he just gives me the nod, then I know that I can keep going. But it's fun, those where they come up and they are talking to you and they expand on everything that you didn't even realize people caught up, like you were saying, or they bring things to your realization you didn't even think of. Like there is a scene in Anger where, you know, the Shadowed is bouncing from person to person and not only manipulating them, but also echoing them as well. So it's almost like if anybody listening watches anime, it's like Ichigo and his mega self, and that's kind of the inspiration that I had for it. But they're going through doing that, and it's just a complete mind-blown thing for Avery to discover that that is something that they can do, and it was so much fun. But then we had somebody come up and I was talking to her, and she was, you know, going through explaining her process and what she thought was going to happen, and she asked me why I felt it was necessary to show the bad side of everybody in that form. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you know, when they go and the shadowed is pulling out their second self. And I'm like, oh, no, honey. This is not drawing out another part. Like, this is still the shadowed. And she's like, oh, no, that's terrifying. Like, you can't have somebody that can do that. And I'm like, of course you can. Like, so did you read this whole series thinking that it was pulling out a piece of people and showing that? And she said, based off of a scene with Silas and everything, that that's what she had thought. So I went back through and I was talking to Corey and I'm like, is this the impression that I gave? And he was like, no, honey, it's not. It's just, this is a reader's interpretation. This is what readers think. This isn't what, not that it's wrong, but it wasn't right. And it was just the way that they see things.
Yes.
So in fan interactions, you also get to understand and you confuse yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've had that situation where I have actively confused myself in an explanation. And then depending on the person, because, you know, a lot of fans, they understand that we're just because this book is done and it's out doesn't mean we're not working on 1, 2, 3 other things. So they a lot of times they're more compassionate in that way. But then you get the ones that are not. And then you get the ones that think that perhaps you didn't write your book or you don't know your book or whatever it may be. And then you feel bad as an author.
Yes. We know the vapor dragon debate. We've had that. That's out there for the world to see. I've had people pick up on things. I just had it happen with a beta reader from my novella coming out, Danius and Jaden, where, I'm describing what the dresses Danius wears throughout it, and she puts on an old dress toward the end, and they got into this whole explanation that it was so significant because she's leaving her blue period of mourning and gave me this whole thing, and I'm thinking, no, she just liked the dress. But they went into this whole thing, like, on their critique about, you know, it was so significant that she put that dress on and it meant that she was leaving her blue period, which meant she had finally conquered this grieving. And I'm like, this is deep, man. And I'm like, no, I just like that dress on her. Like, it was a beautiful piece that she said, but I'm like, no, I just thought the dress was pretty. Like, that was as deep as it went, but they got so into it that I was like, oh, but that's really good. I'm going to use that answer. Like, I was like, thank you. But it's just funny sometimes how for us it's like we do something and it isn't that deep. It's just this is what we wanted. And then a fan takes it to another level where they read into it. And it's like, I didn't even think, wow, that's good. I didn't think of that. Like, I'm like, wow, okay, cool. All right, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I like that. I like that. And they go somewhere else with it. And I was like, okay, you got me. Like, it happens, but I have had people confuse me where they keep going back and forth, and I'm like, no, but this happened, and they're like, no, and I'm like, no, I just put my head down, because I'm like, I know, and especially when it comes to my dragons, and I've had many debates about why they breathe fire, and can this happen, can that happen, and I'm like, look, I got a whole dragon index, half written at home, with diagrams. I know how my dragons are. And they're like, well, you understand. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I do understand. I'm like, but my dragons don't take off like Superman. I'm like, if you really read the book, a jumping off point. They don't just up and away. And the guy was just going on. And I'm like, and I'm looking at him. And then he's referencing Game of Thrones. And I'm like, my dragon's not the size of Game of Thrones. I'm like, if you read, they're no more than, and we're going back and forth. And by the end of it, I'm like, you win. And he's like, well, I look forward to reading your Dragon Index when it comes out. And I'm thinking, dude, you're the last person I'm sending that book to because you're going to pull like a Tyson, Degrassi, whatever, and you're going to go out and be like, this is why it's disproven. And I'm like, okay, have a ball. But sometimes I think they just want to have – there's probably not a lot of people they can talk to about it that they haven't already talked it out. And they're just like, you're somebody new. Let's get into it.
Well, that was, you know, I have a scene that I strictly wrote it because I had gotten into an argument with an editor, because we write fantasy, which means in fantasy, anything can happen. You make the rules. Mm-hmm. If you don't want the laws of physics to apply or gravity or anything, you want to modify them, change them, negate them, you can do that. And there is a scene where I have the Silas and Avery are in the rainbow flower, which they're basically giant sunflowers. And, but the petals change based on the seasons, and they're kind of a rainbowed or ombre. And I was fighting with the editor, who really enjoyed the series but didn't like what I had done with the flowers, because some of them, they're an invasive species. So they just have them condensed to this one area, and they grow up the trees, not like a vine, but like out of the trees and upside down, and they do all these crazy things. Strictly because, and to torment that one person. Like, that is the power. And the fan that had read it, she said she actually really loved it, the idea that flowers could, you know, bloom everywhere. And she went more, way more philosophical than it was. Mine was purely out of spite. Hers was this philosophical thing, and about how it just made her, because she loved sunflowers, and that's what Avery had related them to. And so she just really enjoyed the meaning behind it. And in my head, I'm going, oh, or out loud, I'm saying, you know, that's beautiful. I'm so glad you got that. And in my head, I'm going, this was done out of spite. This was strictly yep. done just to say that I can do it and there's nothing you can do about it. But she took it to such a higher level that it almost made me feel guilty. It didn't.
Right.
But it almost, I was mm-hmm. almost there. Those are the fun yeah. fan ones where you guys don't know what authors are thinking, or maybe other authors are philosophical and things like that. I'm not. But you go through and sometimes you just write these things just to make other people angry or just to prove yeah. that you can. And it was the same thing. It's the only reason I did the novellas is because a fan had come to me, and it was one of my first fan interactions. I was in Phantasm Orlando, and she had come up. She had denial, and she was getting anger, and I don't remember what else was out at that point. But either way, she was getting anger, and she just came up and just ripped Silas, absolutely hated him, didn't understand why he was a part of the series, couldn't understand why I would possibly have someone like that in my book, and just tore him to pieces. And it devastated me. And that was one of my first fan interactions. So because I like getting my way, I wrote Silas's story and ended up seeing her again the next year, and now she loves him. And I talk to her all the time. She comments on my stuff. She's very interactive with me. But that's what that is for. And I don't know if other right. authors do that. I don't know if you do that. If I get something from a fan and let's say I don't agree with it, hence the whole Silas thing, I create an entire world for that person, and I make them a main person. Silas was never supposed to make it this far. But again, strictly out of spite, Silas is surviving out of spite. And I don't know if that's healthy as an author, but it works for readers.
I don't know if I've created stuff. Well, okay, I shouldn't say I haven't created that. They poked the bear before and gotten me to maybe expand on chapters that were not supposed to be as, you know, as in-depth as they became, especially in book four. But I haven't had too many people. There is a debate over who likes King Jarvok, who thinks he's the villain, who thinks, you know, he's just misunderstood. There's an ongoing debate.
Jarvok is a national treasure.
Yeah, you see, you're on the side of he's great. I have people that are just like, he's really the villain and all this. And I'm like, when you get to book six, you'll figure this whole thing out. And there's that ongoing debate of, you know, brooding misunderstood or devious manipulator. And there's that debate. And so I always knew who I wanted him to be. There was never, mm-hmm. you know, so I've never changed him to cater one way or the other. You know, like my main guys, I always kind of knew who they would be. Indigo was the only surprise to everybody, even to me, and she's lasted much longer than I thought she would. She goes into volume two, which that was never a plan for me. I didn't plan on her going further than she did. So the only characters that where somebody's like, I don't get this one, and they've given me problems with, I would say, you know, like I said, it's the debate with Jarbok. You know, I don't get it. Is he this way? Is he that way? And that I've just left for them to debate.
Yeah.
Haven't really,
I mean,
changed
sometimes
him.
That's what you have to do too. And that is a skill that I have not perfected. If I like a character, because like you make them, you have that connection with them. You're not just writing them to write them. You're writing them because they mean something. I am not somebody who is very good at backing down. And even though I believe that everything that you write should be left up to the reader's interpretation, I will fight you on some of them. And I have fought people
on
some
of them.
Them. And, right. We had to do that in Austin. And that was when, okay, that was actually kind of bad. There were two things. I did definitely get into an argument with this voice actress, which I should not have. That was wrong. But
that was fun.
I also, yes. It was funny, but I just didn't, it's fine. But I got into the argument about the good versus evil, because mm-hmm. my whole book is about as you go, you don't have to choose a side. And mm-hmm. they were arguing of who was actually good and who was evil. And it was just, I thought it was a joke, and it was not. And they were telling me who was good and who was bad. And I just kept asking them, well, why? And they were like, well, because of morals. I'm like, but whose morals? And it's a fantasy world. Who says that's what it is? And they got so angry, and I thought it was for funsies, and it was not. And they are very not happy with me online. But that's okay. Those things happen.
I've had that debate about, you know, the good versus evil in my books. And I kind of joke because I'm like, I've always said this series is a study in you know, POV. That's what it is.
Right.
Because it depends on which side you're on. It really is. And that's why it's also written from the omniscient point of view, is because, you know, if you're in the court of light, you'll swear the court of dark has got a problem. But if you're there, you know, and when you look at the whole situation, it's like neither side is really doing the right thing here. So the idea of good versus evil, it's kind of funny to me, because either side mm-hmm. It's totally debatable. And that's why I've always said the dragons were so important. Because while they sit on the side of the court of dark, they're also a bit of a neutral side, you know, a neutral stance in a lot of things, because they
right.
have some pieces where they're looking at the both of them and going, you both crazy. You know that, right? Like, you're just kind of, you're both nuts. Like, if you just talk this whole thing out, we know what would happen. And, you know, so I like talking to readers about it. Because I've had some who've picked up on it, and, you know, in the next novella, a lot of this comes to light, which is why I say this one kind of ties everything up, and then I'm done with volume one. But I'm always excited to talk to fans about these things, discuss it. The interactions are always fun, and mm-hmm. you learn a lot about your own writing and how you come across. Because
yes.
there are many times that I think I'm coming across one way, and then the fans are like, you know, when you wrote this, and you said, and I'm like, dude, that chapter was so not meant to be that way. And
mm-hmm.
I find out, you know, the style is this way. Or sometimes I can, after they've heard me on podcasts or heard interviews, they'll come back and go, when I read this now, I hear your personality or I hear your voice. And it comes
right.
across this way.
And
I think
that's something that's not discussed enough. And we'll have to touch on that, is fan interpretations versus what we meant. But I will say,
yes.
guys, as much as we love talking to you, as much as we love learning things and hearing from you guys, please don't try to kidnap us. Like, don't pull us
so
off
far,
to
no
the
one,
side.
No one's even threatened that. I'm good with that. Yeah. You've had that threat.
I mean,
I haven't had that.
It's not even a threat. It's I don't pay attention, and that's the problem. Is I'm not
That's
paying attention, and then I have you and Corey yelling at me, telling me to come back to the booth because I've been secretly led 50 feet away from us because Chels doesn't pay attention. Like, I just don't pay attention sometimes, and I'm way too trusting.
And that's why we'll
not
go
good.
Over all of this stuff as we travel down this road of the novel beginning. So next week, we'll be discussing our first meeting. You've heard about
Yay!
Our first fan interactions, our first conventions, and all that good stuff. So next week, we're going to discuss how we met and what that first meeting was like. So tune in next week, same time, same place, and follow us on Instagram for all things A Novel Beginning and Author's Reality. Check us out on Wonder Twin Events and see what's going on, and keep writing if you're a writer. Keep writing. That's a big thing. And we'll see you guys next week. Happy New Year to everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.